we can close this door. What we want to discuss tonight for Parshas Vayishlach is what we call Alufei Esav. The Torah goes out of its way to mention, and it's a very long parasha. Roz, I hope you don't mind. I have to close the door because otherwise I can't.
I think this
Shvini
Pinchas
Parsha
is the most connects with the Meshach Chochma that you just went to in terms of both good and bad with Esav and with
right, hopefully. And it also connects to the Shvi'a Pinchas of last week, which we didn't learn together, but I taught in a different class. So there's an entire discussion here tonight about what we call the Alufei Esav. But let's gradually lead up to this. At the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, the Torah describes the Shvatim, of course 12 in number, and the clincher that completes the number 12 is Binyamin. Tragically, Binyamin at his birth, unfortunately, his mother, Rachel, dies. And the Torah describes, Vayisu mibeis el, Vayehi od kivras ha'oretz, Lavo efrasa vateled, Rachel, Vatikash belidita. She has a very difficult pregnancy, and as a result, betzeis nafsha, she dies, and she calls her son Ben Oni. Yaakov changes his name to Binyamin. But what's important for us to realize is that with the birth of Binyamin, Yaakov becomes the father of 12 tribes. Mm-hmm. And the Torah goes out of its way in the very next pasuk to point out Vayu Bnei Yaakov Shneimasar, that there are 12 tribes. So Yaakov was placed on this world with a divine plan, the goal of which was that Yaakov would give birth, would be a father for 12 sons, all of whom would be the holy Shvatim. And this was the responsibility placed on Yaakov's shoulders, which he fulfilled with the birth of Binyamin. Now he has 12 Shvatim. What we want to understand is what's the significance of the birth of Binyamin? Obviously, it completes the number 12, as we said, the divine mission of Yaakov, you know, to bring 12 tribes. But perhaps it goes even deeper and it goes even beyond that. Let's recall that at the beginning of last week's parasha, Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu takes stones and he places them around his head, and he goes to sleep. The pasuk says, "Bamakom," which Chazal identify as Har HaMoriah, the place where the Beis HaMikdash would stand. Vayetze Yaakov miBeer Sheva yelech Harana v'yifka b'makom v'yelon sham ki bo Hashem sheyikach me'avnei HaMakom. Now, we can ask two questions. Number one, how many stones were there? Maybe that's insignificant. And then we want to ask a question as to why the Torah went out of its way to tell us about the Avnei HaMakom. So Rashi addresses one of these two questions, the Medrash another. Rashi says, why is it important that we understand that they were Avnei HaMakom? Says Rashi, Hischilu Merivos Zu Im Zu. They started battling one against the other. And this is a philosophical idea that the whole of nature has a will, somehow a divine spiritual will to fulfill God's will. And therefore each Evan is pulling for itself, like our political situation today, mm-hmm. and declares, Allah yoniach tzadik es rosho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle, and he integrates all the avonim into one Evan.
The only thing is, something which I heard a few years ago, When kavakach may avnei hamakom means he took one stone from. Grammatically, that's what it means. It doesn't mean he took all the stones. He took one stone from all the stones in the place. That's what it means grammatically. So that sort of would go against.
I don't know if may avnei hamakom means one. No, may avnei could mean many.
He took from.
Right, but how many did he take? That the pasuk doesn't indicate. Well, now, its Hebrew grammar could be hu lakach achas me avnei hamakom o hu lakach harbe me avnei hamakom.
But clearly he didn't take all.
Me avnei hamakom.
He didn't take all.
Correct. And Chazal are going to say he chose these stones very carefully.
So it's possible he took more than one, even though he only, okay.
Yeah, vayikach harbe me avnei hamakom o vayikach achas me avnei hamakom. It's unclear from the pasuk. But Rashi says, in the name of Chazal, that there were many stones that he put together. How many stones were there?
12 stones, and then...
Oh, excellent. There were 12 stones. And what does it mean when Rashi says, Merivo Zu Ezu? Each one of the stones represents another one of the Shvatim. And each one of the Shvatim has his own, what we call, Shar HaShamayim, his own gateway. There are 12 gateways to heaven. And this is a mystical idea, which every one of the Shvatim has its own particular unique method of serving Hashem. And the Medrash says, Amar Rav Yehuda, 12 avonim natal. Again, Rashi doesn't mention the number, but the Medrash says, in the name of Rav Yehuda, that he took 12 stones, and he turns to the Almighty, and he says to God the following. He says, Avram lohamid shneim asar shvatim, Yitzhak lohamid shneim asar shvatim. And me? What about me? Do I have a shot at the ultimate purpose in the divine creation of having 12 shneim asar shvatim? And Yaakov makes a siman ledavar. This reminds me of Eliezer back in the parasha of Rivka. And he says to God, Imis achos, if these 12 stones will integrate and form one stone. Yodea ani, then God has sent me a clear-cut message. Ani mamed yud bei shvatim. It means that although there are 12 different unique approaches to how to serve God, but ultimately they unite to form one approach. There are 12 different permutations or manifestations, but they all belong to one indivisible unit. Yaakov wakes up from his dream and he finds only one stone, as it says, Vayikach Evan Vayasima Matseva. So it starts with Avnei Hamakom, and then he wakes up and it's only one stone. And that means that God sent him a clear-cut message that all the 12 Shvatim would form one entity, one stone, and Yaakov, you will be the father of the Knesset, that entity called Knesset Yisrael. Now, immediately after the birth of Binyamin, and the number 12 is completed, Vayiyu b'nei Yaakov Shneimasar. What is the significance of Shneimasar? It is the completion of, as we said before, Knesset Yisrael. And that is clinched with the birth of Binyamin. Immediately afterwards, the Torah tells us, Toldosav shel Esav. V'eile toldos Esav hu Edom, Eila lufei b'nei Esav. And the Mefarshim want to understand what's the connection here. Why does the Torah have to give us the Alufei Esav, and specifically in the aftermath of the birth of Binyamin? So the Shvile Pinchas offers the following approach. Yud Beis B'nei Yaakov, the children of Yaakov, numbering 12, are the Rosh Shivtei Yisrael. Esav is going to father 11 alufim, 11 branches of his family. There are two different marachot, there are two different systems or constellations that exist in this world. There's the constellation of sanctity of Kedusha, that's the 12 Shvatim of Yaakov that believe in God and accept His Torah. And on the other side, mul, meaning in a confrontation, we have another constellation, which is Mitzad HaTuma, and that's the Yud Aleph Alufei Esav. Now, before the birth of Binyamin, how do you compare the numbers?
I'm Philistine.
Oh, okay. Before Binyamin is born, what would you compare the numbers?
It was 10 and 11.
11 and 11.
Right.
That's what we call in Hebrew teku.
Yes. That's what we call.
Teku. Teku means a stalemate. He says with the birth of Binyamin, the scale is now tipped in favor of Yaakov and what we call the constellation of Kedusha. HaMisfar shel Yud Beis Shvatim mitzad Kedusha mechuvan keneged HaMisfar shel Yud Beis Tzirufim l'shem Havaya. Now, usually if you have four letters, you can scramble them in
into 24 ways.
How many ways?
Permutations of the English.
Yeah, only if it's the same letter twice, like Yud and then Hey and Vav and Hey. So four different letters, I think it would be 24. No,
24. Yes.
Yeah, 24. Okay, I'm not a mathematician, but the number 12 here is because two letters are the same, so you only have three different letters.
Right.
So therefore, it's only 12 different permutations. Right. But the number of different, you know, if you play Scrabble, the number of different ways that you can organize the four letters of God's name is 12. There are 12 possibilities. And they reflect the 12 Shvatim. In other words, the 12 Shvatim represent 12 Tzaddikim, 12 methods of serving Hashem on the highest level. And they correspond to the 12 Tzirufim of the holiest name of God, which is Havaya. And that all is clinched the moment that Binyamin is born. Now we have the possibility within the family of Yaakov, the Knesset Yisrael, of 12 Tzirufim of Yudkei Vavkei corresponding to the 12 Shvatim. And each Shevet has its own Tziruf, its own way of formulating the name of God, which represents the Chosem. That's the seal or the character of that particular Shevet. However, we have the Kochos HaTuma on the other side of the fence. They come to the number Yud Aleph. And they parallel in Parshas Ki Tavo the curses of that very difficult Parsha.
11 curses.
Correct, there are 11 curses. And Rashi quotes at the end of the Torah, Rav Moshe Darshan, who says that there are 11 curses, and the Torah says, "Or asher lo yikayim is divrei haTorah zo." So the curses represent the antithesis of kedusha and kiyum haTorah. Those 11 correspond to the 11 kochos haTuma that are the 11 branches, what we call the alufim of Esav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us in the midst of Ketores on a daily basis. How many different elements or ingredients are there in the Ketores? 11. There are 11 Samamonim in the Ketores. And the Torah is telling us that the Ketores is meant to detonate, or how should I say, to counter the influence of the 11 Alufei Esav, which are the founders of the Kochos HaTuma. The oil of the Mishkan is commanded to be 11 Yerios Izim. So that oil which goes around the Mishkan is made up of 11 different curtains that were made out of goat skin. And they correspond again to defeat and counter the 11 Kochos HaTuma of Alufei Esav. Now there's a paragraph here I wanted you to read inside because it's a very beautiful paragraph. On the left side of page 1, Vehine, it's the next to the last paragraph on the page. He says, Hismich HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Torah Kedosha Mashiach Zocha Yaakov Avinu Lahashlem Es Ledas Yud Beis Bono Av Roshei Ashpotim L'Mashah Holid Esav Es Toldosav Sheyotzem Yud Aleph Alufei Esav Lamdenu Ki Shiluv Kolchos HaKedusha Shal Yud Beis Shvatim Keneged Yud Beis Tzirufei Shem Havaya Chazak Yoter. I would underline those two words. Mi Shiluv Kolchos HaTuma Shal Yud Aleph Alufei Esav. In other words, even after you integrate the 11 powerful contaminating forces of Alufei Esav, it still falls short and is inferior to the integration of the 12 forces of what? of sanctity represented by the 12 Shvatim and the 12 Tzirufim of the Shem Hashem. the pasuk says the following: Vayisa Yaakov einav, vayar v'hine esav ba v'imo arbamios ish, vayachatz es hayiladim al Leah v'al Rachel v'al shtei ashvachos. So Yaakov is overwhelmed by fear when he sees Esav with his 400 men, and he splits the machne into two. So the Mefarshim say the following: why is Yaakov so overwhelmed by fear? Because at this point, Binyamin is not born yet. And there are only Yudah Aleph Shvatim. The Kevin Shalom Nolad Binyamin, Hayu Nichnoim Li Esav. They realize that the powers of Esav and his Yudah Aleph Alufim are too great and too massive to hope that we could defeat Esav.
Can we get you some water?
I have it here. Thank you. So instead, Hayu Nichnoim Li Esav Ishtachvulo, they bow down to Esav, basically representing, you know, you're the mighty force. I can't fight against you. And all this is because Binyamin wasn't born yet. However, once Binyamin was born and the number 12 Shvatim was complete, from then on we don't find anywhere where Yaakov bows down to Esav. Because at this point, the number 12 with the birth of Binyamin now tips the scale and makes Yaakov Avinu more powerful as the Yud Beis Tzirufei Shem Havaya and the Kedusha that could defeat Alufei Esav. Where do we see in Jewish history that there was a Jew who refused to bow down?
Mordechai.
Mordechai lo yichrav lo yishtachav. The reason for that is because Mordechai came from which Shevet?
Binyamin.
Mordechai represents that Shevet of Binyamin that never participated in this Hishtachavah to Esav, because with Binyamin, the power of the Yud Beis Shvatim is greater than that of the Yud Aleph Halufei.
Esav.
So that Yaakov initially, before Binyamin is born, realized that he doesn't have the ability lachnia to completely overwhelm the Yud Aleph Alufei Esav, and therefore who tzarich l'shtachvos li'esav avol yachar shenolad Binyamin u'kvar nishlumu ha'mispar shel Yud Beis Shvatim is hayu b'kocham lachnia l'gamri yaseh Yud Aleph Alufei Esav, and therefore Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachave. Now it's interesting. How many children, how many sons does Haman have? Yes. Who remembers?
Ten sons.
Ten, right? Wow. Aseres b'nei Haman.
And he was the afterwards progeny of Amalek.
I would actually say at least ten. It's unclear if you really go into the Megillah that's his only 10 sons.
All right, from our perspective, for now, you know, again, you can argue, as I say, Shimon Ponim LaTorah.
Right.
Ultimately, it may take me years, but ultimately, I'll prove to you, and you'll understand my style of Shimon Ponim LaTorah. Hopefully,
okay.
In any event, if we take the list of Aseres B'nei Haman, it's 10. If we add Haman to the list, he was also hung up on a tree. We get to 11. Haman and his children are the B'nei Esav. And therefore, the number 11 here, in the case of Haman, clearly represents or corresponds to the Yud Aleph Alufei Esav, and they were very powerful. However, Mordechai was able to defeat them, because Mordechai represents the power of Shevet Binyamin, and the Shevet Binyamin represents the Hashlama, the completion of the number 12, which makes the Kedusha of Knesset Yisrael superior to that of the children of Esav, meaning Amalek and all his offsprings. That's why the Megillah goes out of its way to describe Mordechai as Ish Yemini. Yemini means from Shevet Binyamin. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to be Mishtachve at all to Haman, because he lives in that post-Hishtachavah generation, the generation of Binyamin, who doesn't recognize any kind of Hachna or Hishtachavah to the Alufei Esav. You know, if I was a fan, which I was, of Meir Kahana, I would say that Meir Kahana came from Shevet Binyamin. You know, lo yichra v'lo yishtachav, if you follow what I mean.
You know that?
No, I don't know if anybody could claim that he comes today from Shevet Binyamin. I'm not sure.
He wasn't the Kohen, so we know he wasn't from Levi. He wasn't from Shevet Levi. We don't know. All right. Sure we know.
And guess what? According to the Kabbalistic writings of Rav Moshe Chusa, who is into Gilgulim, he claims, in a different context, not in our context, that Mordechai was a Gilgul of Yaakov Avinu. Haman was a Gilgul of Esav. So the confrontation between Haman and Mordechai is really, in a sense, a duplication of the confrontation between Yaakov and Esav, with one difference. That now, in the later confrontation of Mordechai and Haman, there's going to be a tikkun here. A tikkun of what Yaakov messed up on. Again, we're not blaming Yaakov, he had no choice. But Yaakov was mishtachavet to Esav. Now comes along Mordechai as a Gilgul of Yaakov, and he's going to make a tikkun, and he's going to say, no, no, no. There's no mishtachavet to Esav, nor to Haman, who is the Gilgul of Esav. Pretty fascinating stuff here, if you're into Gilgulim. Yaakov prays to Hashem and he says, Hatzileni no miyad achi miyad Esav. So the Baal HaTurim says that if you take the hey of Hatzileni and the nun of Noah and the mem of miyad, those are the first three words in that pasuk, you end up with the word Haman. Hey, mem, nun, Haman.
Nice.
And basically the deeper message of the prayer of Yaakov HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to save me not only from Esau, but also save me from Haman, because Yaakov is Mordechai praying on behalf of Klal Yisrael against Haman. And therefore, if we want to find some sort of a limud schus to justify Yaakov Avinu's hishtachavah to Esau, it's because Binyamin was not yet born and there was no hashlama of the Yud Beis Shvatim, and therefore the Yud Aleph Alufei Esav was so powerful and they frightened Yaakov, and therefore he had no choice but to be Mishtachav. Now, let's add another precondition. It's not sufficient just to say that we have Yud Beis Shvatim and Binyamin is born. We have another condition which is called Ki Ish Echad Belev Echad, which means that we need what's called achdus, a unity amongst the shvatim, right? Just like we have today in the state of Israel, a great unity amongst the shvatim. But if chas v'shalom, instead of unity, we have pirud, which makes it almost despicable to read the news today. You know, I'm talking about the Israeli news. Forget about the world, it's even worse. But, you know, because the accusations and the belittlement and the words are heaping back and forth. I don't want to, you know, Rabbi Yitzhak Radetshava would not allow me to say those words. But you see something called pirud in Klal
Yisrael. That's entertaining.
I wish I could agree with you. But I've seen such words.
It's a negative thing on my part that I find entertaining.
Some of it might be entertaining, but sometimes it just crosses all bounds. I can't begin to tell you. You're not sure who loves the Arabs more than the religious Jews, you know. Say, but anyway, in any event, so he says the following: at what point can we say that we, as Yud Beis Shvatim, can be misgaber to overcome the Yud Aleph Kochos of Alufei Esav? And the answer is, it's got to be when the Yud Beis Shvatim form one unit, one entity. If it's each Shevet unto himself, then he's fighting against Yud Aleph Alufei Esav. He doesn't have a chance. But if we have the entire Klal Yisrael, then we have the ability to defeat Esav. And therefore, when it says Vayeshev Yaakov, so if you take a look at the word Vayeshev, leaving out the Vav, which is really just added for conjugation purposes, and you just focus on the Yud, the Shin, and the Beis, then what you end up with is Yud K Vav K, which is 26, times 12. So I actually did the math, and I took 12, and I multiplied 26, I got 312. I took the word Yashav, Yud Shin Beis, and I got 312. So this is really interesting, because if we want to get to the point, as we said before, the maximum number of Tzirufim of the Shem of Havaya is 12, we need Yud Shin Bet. And what is Yashav Yaakov? It means the Kedusha of all the 12 Shvatim, which represent the 12 Tzirufei Shemos, the totality of which is able to defeat the Alufei Esav. And that's what Chazal mean on the Pasuk at the end of Chumash, when Moshe Rabbeinu bestows his blessing on Yisrael. It says, Vayhi Bishur Mel, Pesasik Vashayom, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. So the Sifri makes the comment, Vayhi Bishur Mel, Kishi Yisrael, Shavim Vi Eitza Achas. When the Jews are united with one agenda, one common goal, then Shmo HaGadol, the holy name of God, Mishtabach Lamalo, will be glorified up in stairs. Shema Vayhi Bishur Melech. Amosai, when is it Vayhi Bishur Melech? Bis Asef Rasheom Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. When they are, in the language of the Medrash, Asuyim Aguda Achas, when they are one entity. Now let's take a look at the Yud Beis Shvatim in their very roots, the very root of the Yud Beis Shvatim. And we're going to quote a Psikta Rabbosim, which is a statement in Chazal. Kol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything in creation, is bizchus ha-shvatim bara. It's only as a result of the shvatim. For example, there are 12 months of the year. There are 12 mazolos, constellations in the Rakia. There are 12 hours in the day and another 12 hours at night. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God declares, Afilu helyonim v'tachtonim, all the higher spheres in the heavens and the lower spheres on earth, lo barasi ela
b'schus hashvatim. But the hours of the day are a man-made thing. It's not really a thing from God created man. 12 hours a day. We could have decided to make it 15 hours. 15 morning.
I don't know. According to this Chazal, it's not so. God created it in that way.
No, God created it, but God created a 24-hour day. But we decide how to break up that, you know, it's
that
how we decide what
the
vision
is.
I think it has, doesn't have to do with sunrise and sunset?
Yes, but we, there's a period of time when the sun's up, and a period of time when it's down. We decide to split into hours, 12 hours. We could decide to split into 10 hours or 15 hours. It's about how we divide it up, the, you know, it's a man-made thing.
I don't know. Because Chazal speak about the creation itself and what happened on every hour of the day, and Chazal go through 12 hours. Also here Chazal is saying that
because
God,
Chazal lived in a time there already was a concept of 12, you know, the concept that the day,
no, but Chazal describing the 12 hours, each one is a definite period of time in which God created X during the
right,
first
but I'm saying because we lived in already there was time living where it was already the hour was set as a thing, so
I don't know.
Hours in the morning,
I think we're talking about something inherent in creation. In any event, let's see. We don't have too much time, but I want to read with you a few paragraphs here that are very, very powerful. The first one that I want to read with you is the last paragraph, four lines up before the end of page 2. He says, "Hare dvarim berurim ki yud beis hashvatim," which is the makeup of Klal Yisrael, "Heim yud beis tzinoros hashefa l'chol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olam." In other words, everything is created in numbers of 12, because it's the 12 shvatim that form, so to speak, the pipeline through which the shefa, the munificence, the bestowing power of creation comes from Shamayim. And this really reflects on what we see in a sefer called the Bnei Yisoschar, who says that the 12 months of the year correspond to the 12 Tzirufei Havaya. And the Bnei Yisoschar actually goes through every month and he tells you what is the Tziruf of Yudke Vavke in each month. And the most fascinating thing about the Bnei Yisoschar, by the way, many Siddurim have it printed, you'll see it in the Siddur, is that there's one particular Shevet which has Yud Kei Vav Kei in the right order, as we know it, Yud Hei Vav Kei. And he says the following. Correct. Shoresh Hachiyu Shel Kol Abriya, the root of all existence, what generates existence into the whole creation, is Hashem Havaya, Hamachaya Es Kol Habriya. So it's the holiest name of God, which is Havaya, that breathes or generates life into existence. And this is based on a pasuk in Nehemiah. Atahu havaya levadcha, atah asisa sashamayim shmei shamayim v'chol tzvam ha'oretz v'chol ha'shaleh ha'yamim v'chol ha'shabayim v'atah machayis kulam u'tzva shamayim l'chol mishtachavim. So Nehemiah identifies the havaya as the creator of everything that exists. The Shem Havaya Mischalik Yudbeis Tzirufim Kenegi Yudbeis Chod Shehashana Ki Shoresh Achiyu Shal Kol Abriya Hu Yudbeis Tzirufim Shal Hashem Havaya. And Me'ata Yirvach Lanu Lahavin Koch HaNifle Sheyesh Yisrael, the power of Israel, HaKluim Yudbeis Shvatim Kasher Heim Misachtim, when they unite to form Ki Yishecha B'liv Echad, Al Yidei Zeh, they are ma'oris, so to speak. They give lights or life force to the Yud-based Tzirufei Hashem of Havaya, and that's the source of existence for the entire universe. And he says the following, that this phenomenal power that's inherent to the Yud-based Shvatim of the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, which when they're united has the ability to defeat the Koch HaKlipa of Yud Aleph Alufei Esav, because it's 12 against 11. Which is that Shevet that has the most power against the Alufei Esav? Now again, we said before that Binyamin was number 12. Yeah, but now we have all 12. So now we have to go back to the number 12 and decide for the, you know, which one of those 12 Shvatim is actually the most powerful force against the Alufei Esav. And the answer lies in the following pasuk. It says, Vayhi kasher yolda Rachel es Yosef, after Yosef was born, Vayomer Yaakov el Lavan, Shalcheni v'elcha el Mekomi. What does that mean? Rashi says the following. What happens with the birth of Yosef is nolad sitno shel Esav. Sitno shel Esav means the adversary of Esav, the force, the opponent that could defeat Esav. Shenemar, this is based on a very famous pasuk in Ovadia. For hayah beis Yaakov eish, u beis Yosef lehava. That the real flame that shoots out of Beis Yaakov is Yosef's Lahava. And what is that Lahava, that fire accomplished? Beis Esav Lakash. It burns up Esav like a straw. Wow. And Mishanolad Yosef, Batach Yaakov Bakarish Baruch, who now with the birth of Yosef, Yaakov had this divine spirit of optimism. He knew that he could defeat Esav. And therefore he was willing to leave Lavan. He had been, in a cocoon, you know, for 20 years in Beis Lavan. Now he's ready to go out there and face Esav.
I mean, it was born before he left Lavan, or after?
I think after. Ki Yosef HaTzadik Yisod Olam Hu HaShevet HaYud Beis HaMachriyas HaKaf L'Tovas HaKedusha L'Achnias Klipas Esav V'Yud Aleph Alufim.
What does HaMachriya mean?
Which word?
Hamachria.
Machria means to
announce.
Tip the scale.
To what?
Tip the scale.
Oh, tip the scale.
Right, so you have a scale that's equal on both sides. And lachria sakaf means that you add extra weight on one side of the scale and it tips the scale. And that's Yosef, who now represents the number 12 and that power that's going to tip the scale against the adversary, which is Esav, which with his number 11.
Why does Yosef represent 12?
Why? Because Yosef represents Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? He's the month of the year, which is the month of Nisan, where the letters of God's name form the exact, again, this represents the sheet of the Tanoim that the Nisan Nivra Olam, right? This is Machlokas when creation took place. And
wait, so the letters of Yosef match?
Right, every Shevet has a different Tziruf of the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Okay.
And the only one where Yud Kei Vav Kei appears out of the 12 in that form, in that sequence of Yud, and then a Hey, and then a Vav, and then a Hey, is Yosef. Yosef's Shevet.
Yosef is Yud Vav Samech.
No. Has nothing to do, again, each Shevet has different names. Zvulun has a Zion in it, and Yisachar has a Zion. That has nothing to do with the letters of the name. But the Bnei Yisachar has a tradition in which he tells you with these 12 tzirufim, which month has which tziruf, and which month corresponds to which of the shvatim.
Okay.
And the tziruf of Yudke Vavke in that sequence is Chodesh Nisan.
Okay.
And that's the month of Yosef.
Okay.
And Yosef, because of his power of Yudke Vavke, which is the creative power of the universe, is able to be the defeating force against Esau. And that's why Yaakov Avinu, immediately after the birth of Yosef, says to Laban, I'm ready now to leave, because now I can fight the battle against Esau, I can defeat Esau, because Yosef is born. And that's why the Poskin Ovadia says that Beis Yosef Lahava U Beis Esav Kash, that Yosef is the flame and Esav is the
straw
that will be burnt by Yosef. And this all has to do with Mashiach. I mean, that's not our discussion for tonight.
It sounds very Kabbalistic.
Correct. Once you quote the Bnei Yisachar, you're into heavy Kabbalistic calculations. Now, another paragraph here on this page, page 3, which is very crucial, is in the middle category, the middle column, the paragraph that starts Ella, which is the third basic. He says, Nitzotz Echad Shel Yosef. It's not enough to have just that power, that flame, that spark of Yosef. Belit Tziruf Shel Kol HaShvatim, without the combination of all the Shvatim, Yosef alone, Eino Yachol La'amod Levado, he cannot stand his own against the Yud Aleph Kochos HaTuma of Alufei Esav. And this was the message that Yosef gave, a subliminal message perhaps, on a deeper level, to his brothers, when Yosef repeats to them the chalom, the dream that he has. V'nei ha-shemesh v'yareach achadasar kochavim mishtachavim li. He says to the brothers, I need all 11 shvatim plus himself, in order to generate an achdus, a kedusha of Yud Beis Shvatim. Then and only then can I play my role and make my contribution of burning up the kash of Alufei Esav, of the Yud Aleph Alufei Esav. I need that number 12. And if I need Achadesrei Kochavim Mishtachavim Li, and it's got to be one Achdus, I can be the leader and I can push forward against Esav, but only if I have the 11 Shvatim with me, behind me, and united together with me. And he says now that there's a very important insight of Rabbi Yonasan Ivershitz. Oh, by the way, there's a whole section here about Hipil Pur. You remember that Haman tries to decide when he should destroy the Jewish people, and it falls on the 12th month, which is Chodesh Adar.
Right.
So there's a whole discussion here about why Hashem set it up in His divine providence that the month should be the 12th month, because that 12th month is going to represent the ultimate tziruf of Shem Havaya and the achdus of all the shvatim, and that would be a fulfillment of a pasuk in Tehillim, Yismuchu Hashamayim V'Sagel Ha'aretz, because if you take the first letter of each of those four words, you end up with Yud Kei Vav Kei. Again, Yismuchu Hashamayim V'Sagel Ha'aretz is Yud Kei Vav Kei. And this Yismuchu Hashamayim V'Sagel Aretz, in which God is happy, so to speak, up in heavens, and now the people down on earth could be happy, that's going to be when we could destroy the Alufei Esav, in this case the Amalekim that come from Esav, and that represents the number 12 here in the Pur. Now it's interesting, he says that the word Pur itself is equal to 11 times Havaya. Okay, so you can make the mathematics 26 times 11, and you'll end up with Pur, which is 80, which is 286. And he says, "Bikesh lisaches ulekabel yenika yud aleph tzirufei Hashem yudke vavke." But it's eno biyosher, and therefore, since he only had 11 and not 12, therefore he was defeated, and Pur was not powerful enough to defeat the Yud Beis of Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Pasuk says, Yavo HaMelech VeHaman HaYom. And if you take the first letter of each of these four words, Yavo is Yud, HaMelech is Hey, VeHaman is Vav, and Ayob is Hey, which means the Tziruf of the Shem Hashem in its straight way, and now we could defeat Amalek because the Melech, which is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to come with his Tziruf of Yudke Vavke and destroy our enemies. And here we have an insight of Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz in his very famous work called The Yaros Dvash.
That's
what
Chacham Tzvi's son, right?
Not that I know of. I think the Chacham Tzvi's son was Emden, Rav Yaakov Emden.
Emden, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
They were arch enemies then.
Ah, that you're right. That you're right. Yeah. That was a tremendous controversy in Klal Yisrael. Anyway, so Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz writes that the Seder of the Chodesh of Yud Beis Shvatim, if you place the Yud Beis Shvatim against the Yud Beis Chadashim, Teda, Ki Yud Beis Shvatim Keneged Yud Beis Chadashim, Ruvain is Keneged Tishrei. And therefore Ruvain begins with Tshuva. Remember that he does Tshuva because Tishrei is the month of Tshuva. Shimon is Keneged Cheshvin, Levi Keneged Kislev. In Kislev we defeated the Chashmonaim, and that was through the Kohanim from Shevet Levi. And they did a Chanukah and they lit Neros. Teves is Yehuda, and he goes through every month and what happened in that month and how it corresponds to that Shevet. Shevet Yisachar, who's the Eitz Chaim, and he's the Rosh Hashanah Lilonos, so that's Shvat, so Yisachar is Shvat. Zvulun is Hadar. Yosef is Nisan. And therefore the Pasuk says, until him Eidus b'Yosef Somo b'Tseisol Eretz Mitzrayim, Hu HaMachnis v'Hu HaMotzi. And therefore, the month of Nisan is the month that corresponds to Yosef. Binyamin is Iyar. Dan is Sivan. Kihu Dan Dina. Because that's the day, that's the month that the Torah was given in. And Naphtali is Keneged Tammuz. God is Keneged Av. And Osh is Keneged El. And Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz goes through each one of the months and he describes the unique character of that month and how it corresponds to the character of its respective Shevet. But what's important for us is again, Eidus v'Yosef Somo v'Tseisol Eretz Mitzrayim, Hu HaMachnis v'Hu HaMotzi, and Yosef therefore is corresponds to the month of Nisan. So the Shvilei Pinchas says, Nira Lefaresh, he says that the deeper meaning of the Aras Dvash is that Yosef is the Machnis Es Yisrael Legolus Mitzrayim. He's the one that brings Yaakov and Beis Yaakov down to Mitzrayim. But Vehu Amotzi, he also will be Yosef, the Zchus of getting Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And Dafka during the month of Nisan. Why? So the Medrash says, Yosef Yorad LeMitzrayim, but Godar Atzo Mina Erva. Right, Yosef in the area of modesty, of morality, was a superhuman being. Ukenegdo Yisrael Bischuso. And as a result of his Geder Erva, Klal Yisrael was Zocher to go out of Mitzrayim. So that the trailblazer for the Kedusha of Inyone Arayos, that's going to lead to the Exodus and the redemption from Egypt, is Yosef. Therefore, Vayonas Vayetze Achutza, Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says to Yosef, Ata Nasta V'Yatzata L'Chutza, you ran away from Eishes Potiphar and you went outside, Chayecha Hayom Yonus Mipnei Aronecha, when they carried the Aron of Yosef, that's when Hayom Rav Vayonos, that's when the Red Sea split, all because of Yosef HaTzadik. Because Yosef HaTzadik represents Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, in that order. And that's why over and over again it says about Yosef Havaya. It says, Vayhi Havaya Es Yosef. Vayhi Ish Matzliach, etc., etc. And then it says, Vayara Donov. Right, this is Potiphar. Even the Mitzri Potiphar saw Ki Yud Kei Vav Kei Ito. And Kol Asher Osei Yud Kei Vav Kei Matzliach B'yado. Vayavarech Yudke Vavke is Beis HaMitzri Beglal Yosef. Vayi Birchas Yudke Vavke Bechol Asher Yeshlo Bebayis Ubesoda. Every time that Yosef is mentioned, it's the bracha of Yudke Vavke, because Yosef is the tziruf of God's name as Yudke Vavke in its correct sequence, and that represents the ultimate power, which is the source of all life, that comes from the divine being, and that will defeat the Yud Aleph Alufe Esav. And here on page 4, we have three important paragraphs that I want to read with you. The first one is towards the bottom of the left column, Me'ata. And he says the following: let's understand the amazing, amazing power of Yosef HaTzadik in terms of his integration with the other 11 Shvatim that together are able to defeat the Koach HaTumah of the Yud Aleph Alufei Esav. Ki me'eis hachet chas v'sholem mekablim Yud Aleph Alufei Esav esinikosam Yud Aleph Tzirufei Hashem she'eno b'yosher aval arei Yosef u'kneged chodesh Nisan sh'atzir shlo b'yosher ומהצירף הזה אין לחיצונים שום יניקה, לכן כאשר יוד אלף שבותם הסקשרים עם קדושת יוסף, בבחינת הנה השמש יריח אחד אחד עשר כוכבים משתחווים לי, אז מאיר השם הוויה, then the lights shine up on the hay, the יוד קי וב קי of הוויה, ביושר, in the right way, be our gadol as an absolute light, and that's machnia, and that's subjects and subserviates the Yud Aleph Alufei Esav, and that's the Nitzotz Yosef Mi Esav HaMachalav Esorif Es Esav. Now I want you to fast forward to a paragraph in the middle section, which is called Venira, and he says that the Torah teaches us a tremendous skula. How can we overcome the Yud Aleph Alufei Esav? And the answer is written, or hinted, alluded to, in the Pasuk Achadasar Yom, Mechorev Derech Har Seir, the 11 days from Chorev to Har Seir. These are the 11 days in which the Jewish people attached themselves to Torah, which was given at Chorev. And this is Har Sinai. And by experiencing that close dedication and love of Torah for that 11 days, they were able to defeat Esav.
Which 11 days was this exactly?
I don't know. You want to open up the pasuk for me if you don't mind? Just simply, I'm trying to finish up. Yeah, here it's. Achadas or Yom Mechorev Derech Har Seir. I think it's at the very beginning of Parshas Bishalach, if I'm not mistaken. Take a look. Or if not, then it's in Parshas Yisro. He doesn't tell you, unfortunately, exactly where the pasuk is. But he says that Akol Kol Yaakov Ayadayim Yidei Esav. Chazal say, what is Akol Kol Yaakov? How we are able to defeat the Yidei Esav? It's only when we learn Torah together in the Batei Knesios and the Batei Midrashos. Now the last paragraph that I wanted to call your attention is here on the left column. Od Yodua Mashahevi Amagen Avram. The Magen Avraham also sometimes has a tendency of quoting Kabbalistic sources, and he quotes in the name of the Arizal that Yesh Berakia Yud Beis Chalonos. Up in Shamayim there are 12 windows, Keneged, that correspond to the 12 Shvatim, and every Shevet has a Tefillah. His supplications go through that particular Shar, that's Miyuchad. And they are all told 12 Sha'arim. The Chassam Sofer takes us one step further and he says there are 12 Sha'ari Torah. There are 12 gates of Torah. So 12 gates of Tefillah and 12 gates of Torah. Every Shevet has its own gate of Torah, its own method and style and character of serving Hashem. And every Shevet has its own flavor or character of Torah.
I don't see the 11.
All right, I'm sorry. I can't help right now. He doesn't quote it. Okay. If I was home, I would give it to you in a jiff, but I really want to finish up. It's getting really late, and I don't know if you know my situation.
No, go ahead. I'm just
yeah. So in any event, we have a parash in Vishalach that says, Vayavoi Lema Visham Shtemesrei Enos Mayim. You remember that they saw in a place called Elam 12 fountains of water. And the Sukkot of a Rebbe is famous for saying that these 12 Ma'ayinos of Mayim are Ma'ayinos of Torah, and every Shevet had its own Mayon of Torah. And therefore he completes this presentation by saying that we can now understand the wonderful skula to defeat Yud Aleph Alufei Esav is through Esek HaTorah, by being dedicated to the Shishim Ribui Osios, which represent the Shishim Ribui Sharshei Neshamos of the 12 Shvatim. And that includes all the 12 Sha'arim that correspond to the 12 Shiftei Yisrael. Lachain al Yidei Sha'ish mi Yisrael Osek B'Torah. He dedicates himself to the Torah. Hu Zochel is Dabek. He connects himself to the Shorash HaKadusha of the 12 Shiftei Yisrael. And that contributes to the ability of Klal Yisrael Mirtz Hashem to defeat the Yud Aleph Alufei.